morning and happy Easter.
Good morning.
Beautiful. I got up and the sun was shining, and I've been just marveling how this whole past week there are things blooming and budding. I have pink and white in my backyard. The plants in the front here are sprouting. I mean, it's just a glorious day. Just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
Amen.
All this that is blooming and budding is reminding me of this ceremony that we're going to do in just a little while. Easter is all about rising above and the new life that comes after the challenges, after the overcoming, then all of the new life. So, is it not beautiful in here too? All of this, whoever did this, yay! You did good. And the transformation with the flowers, you see this, and this isn't very pretty right now. This is the appearance, and we have a lot of appearances in our lives that look like it's the way it is. But we're going to see an overcoming of that, a new way of looking at this that puts them together. And a short story, I moved into my house that I live in now in St. Peter's in 2015, and I was thrilled because there was a dogwood, some form of dogwood, there are all kinds of varieties, with the white blossoms, and there was a redbud tree. I love redbud trees with their little pink blossoms and so forth. That was 2015, and I noticed, I used to have some of the family over when my nephew's kids were little, and I started noticing that one of the limbs from the redbud tree was starting to droop, you know. And I was afraid the kids were going to try to swing on it, you know, or something, and hurt themselves or hurt my tree. So I had two different companies come and just talk to me about the tree, you know, what can I do? One was talking about all kinds of apparatus that would brace it and hold it up, and it just didn't, you know, that doesn't feel, felt very artificial. And another company, I honestly can't remember who I had come. I think that Allen's was probably the second one. They have arborists, you know, people who know what they're talking about. Anyway, this man told me the truth. He said, this tree, this kind of tree, isn't known for longevity. They don't last a long time, and so it's an older tree. It's been here for a while. You'll have several more years with it if you know, but it won't last all that long. So, sure enough, that drooping limb drooped until I needed to get it cut off, and then I think the next big thing was that the trunk started splitting and it wasn't, you know, within a few years, I guess, and I thought I really need to have this down. It's getting to be a liability. So I had it cut down. And I grieved. I loved that tree. I mean, literally, I was inside my house crying because as they were cutting it down, I get choked up even when I think about it. It really looked like it was all over. There was a stump that was about this tall. And I thought about putting stuff on top of the trunk, you know, to celebrate what it was. Within a year or so, I started seeing little shoots come up around the stump, you know, and I think the next year there were enough shoots that I thought, we need to do something with this, I think. So I learned that if you want a bush, then you can leave all those little shoots, but if you want a tree, you cut back, and then the biggest one, you know, becomes the new tree. So I did that. I want to tell you that this morning, or this week, as I've been looking out at it, it is over 6 feet because I have a vinyl fence, you know, and I know that's 6 feet, and it's over that, some, and it's covered with pink blossoms. I never thought that tree would come back, you know. I thought it was just gone. So I didn't dream there would be a baby. I feel like a grandmother already. So, anyway, here we are. I'm loving my trees. I'm loving all this new growth. I think that in our lives, you know, there are beautiful, bright spots. And then sometimes they're not there. I think we forget that we have the ability to transform our lives, to overcome challenges, to change them into life-filled experiences, loving relationships. We have an opportunity to have more fulfilling lives when we learn how we can overcome. The whole lesson, I think, of Easter, the overcoming. Easter is a day of celebration. We celebrate the resurrection, the overcoming even of death that Jesus did, and we celebrate the realization that we can overcome our crosses and challenges, whatever those crosses are that we carry. So we need a way, you know, I love that about unity, is that all the stories, the beautiful, beautiful happenings that are recorded in the Bible, that was then. But I love unity in that it teaches us what do we do with that today? You know, what good does that do us? So I think we need to see, I guess, the metaphysics at work, and how can we make Easter and the message from Easter a useful tool in our lives, not just one day a year, but every day of the year. So when you look at this table, you see the dead-looking wreath, not very pretty, and you see beautiful flowers. This is an outer representation, in my opinion, of death and life. Our view, unity, our view, our perspective on life events can make the difference between living a wonderful, fulfilling life and just merely getting along day by day, and worse. A lot is about what meaning do we make in these situations and experiences. The traditional story, if you will, of Easter is sometimes called Passion, with good reason, because there's just so much emotion in it. Usually, the story of Easter starts with last Sunday, Palm Sunday, where it marks the entry into Jerusalem for the celebration of Passover. During the week, Jesus and the disciples were in Jerusalem at the temple, and they were... Jesus was doing all his work. He was healing people. He was teaching. He overturned the tables. He really antagonized the Pharisees so much that they began to plan how to kill him. The disciples were pretty worried about Jesus and what he was going to do. But he knew that it was his to do. He had been told, you know, this is yours, and so he stayed. He would not leave. Monday, Thursday is when Jesus and the disciples came together for what we call the Last Supper. During that meal, Jesus told the disciples, "I'm going to be betrayed, and I'm going to be killed, put to death." They did not want to hear that, but they left the place of where they were having the Last Supper, and they went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus prayed there. He tried to get some of the disciples to stay with him and pray, and they kept falling asleep. But he went, and that's where he said, "Lord, take this cup from me if it be thy will, but if not, thy will is my will." You know, what? So, there while he's praying and the others are sleeping, the soldiers come. Judas identifies Jesus. I think he kissed him on the cheek, if I recall the story correctly. That will be the person that is Jesus. The soldiers arrested him and took him away. Good Friday, then, is a tragedy. It's a story, a tragic tale of a a mock trial, being found guilty, and being condemned to death by crucifixion. I've read that being crucified is one of the most horrible, painful, slow deaths that one can experience. I think, if I remember reading right, they can't breathe. The weight of the body keeps them. So he died. He died on the cross. Horrible, horrible, tortured death. He's taken down. There's someone has provided a tomb. He's placed in the tomb, and then the soldiers came and rolled a big stone into the entrance. And Easter Sunday then dawns with Mary Magdalene in one of the Gospels. Each Gospel has just a slightly different narration on what was happening, but the one I really like is when Mary Magdalene goes and she sees that he's not there, and she asks what she thinks is the gardener, "Where have they taken my Lord?" And then he said, "Mary," and she recognized him. I get goosebumps every time I tell this story. And so she realized that he was there. He told her to go and tell the other disciples that they should gather because he was going to come and be among them. The emotional side of all of this is powerful. All of these. I mean, if you imagine someone that you love, these people that were following Jesus, his followers, they saw him. They saw him die on the cross. They saw him be put into the tomb. And stones rolled in the way. It would be the appearance of death was, how could you not think that it was over, that it was done? And all of the resulting emotions that had to be present during it is unbelievable. Now, in traditional churches, everybody kind of does it a little bit differently, I guess, but in traditional services, often we hear that Jesus sacrificed his life for us, for our sins. Unity acknowledges that the things happened, that yes, he gave his life, knowingly gave his life, he chose to do that, and it was, in a sense, it was for us, but Unity doesn't really focus as much on the crucifixion as it does the resurrection. Here is a man who was teaching as best he could, and he was teaching that we can do a lot of the things that he was doing. People didn't believe him. They didn't think that they could do that. But I think that Jesus was an amazing model. Thy will be done. Service. He was modeling throughout his ministry, his life, was modeling compassion and service, firmness in standing up for everybody. Just an amazing, amazing life that he lived. He recognized and knew that because people didn't think they could do it themselves, that if he, as long as he stayed, he would be required to keep on doing it. There's one person doing it, one Jesus, and all of the legions of people that need to be healed and all that. So he knew that if he stayed, we didn't get it. We didn't understand. We didn't understand that we have that power within ourselves. So it had to be. The reappearance or resurrection models the overcoming. It models that even death can be overcome. Now, applying this to our lives, I don't know about you, but I don't think I'm ready to overcome death quite yet. But I am willing and open to overcoming everything that I can, to be able to look at things maybe a little bit differently than I might have. If we can use a different lens, perhaps I can stop seeing death, or we can just see things differently. Sometimes we feel like we're crucified in our lives. We've been betrayed, and sometimes we don't know how to move past it if they're extremely devastating events. But this is where we can choose. This is where we can choose. We can look through a different lens. We can look through this as a step, a progression in our spiritual lives. How can I get through this differently? If you've lost a loved one, you know the devastation that happens immediately afterwards, and often for a while. Jesus was in the tomb, you know, seemingly forever. Our loved ones, if we accept the appearance that this is it, depending on your relationship, you might, through one lens, you might think, I'll never experience joy again. This person was my, how many times have I heard, this person was my life. I cannot go on if I don't have this person. That's a temptation, but, well, it's not really a temptation. It's a pretty normal human response. But as Unity Truth students, we have an ability to purposely, consciously make a choice. Could there be something else that I can see, that I can get derived from this experience? When someone dies, you know, we might just stay there. My mother, bless her heart, my dad died 20 years before she did, and she just was treading water. I mean, we all knew it. She was going through the motions. Did she enjoy life? I don't think so, not very much. I mean, we did our best, my sister and I, but she just was stuck. There was no better for her after his death. But sometimes with a different lens, we may see things differently. We may see it as, okay, something new can come from this. I have a good friend who lost her son. He was only 6 when he died, but she created she became a counselor for the bereaved parents people, and she set up a foundation, a trust fund, I guess, if you will, that would help. I think it had something to do with the illness that he had. Can create something new. There's tremendous energy in the emotions that we experienced in this story. We can do something with that energy, something constructive, something that will move us along our spiritual path a little bit more. Losing a job to technology. Anybody know someone who has had that experience? Yeah, I see some nods. Happened to a cousin of mine. And that can be overwhelming. I mean, you've done this job for years and years and years. You know how to do it. You're expert at it. Everybody comes to you with questions because you're so good at it. And then technology takes over, and all of a sudden it's machines and computers that are doing what you did. What do you do with that? With one lens, you can be standing there just bitter as all heck. This is terrible. There were people who just would not buy an automobile because their horse and carriage was just fine. Thank you very much. It's things change all the time. In the grocery stores, there were self-checkouts. Now they're moving back to, you know, I mean, everything changes. There are no more gas stations that where they have somebody come out and fill up your tank and clean your windshield. I remember that. So if you lose your job because it doesn't exist anymore, what are you going to do? Are you going to be bitter, disappointed, bitter, disempowered? Or are you going to think of something that maybe you can see it through a lens of curiosity? What is there for me? This cousin that I mentioned, I think he ended up losing whatever work he was. It was a factory something or other. And he ended up then finding a company that needed people to go and pick up vehicles. I don't remember now if it was a bus or a truck or whatever it was. But that's what he did. He drove the vehicle. You can find something new, something that will give you what you want and need if you have that lens of there's something out there and be curious about it. There are many, many, many examples of changing our view, of making that choice. A challenge comes, what do we do? Well, you feel it. I mean, we're human, we need to experience it, let it be, and then consciously, spiritually, we know that we want to be making a choice. And once you've made that choice, the universe, in my experience, answers. So things will be, you'll begin to get ideas. I think somebody will say something. Many, many ways and times that you can do that. You can choose to have a different lens to look at how this challenge or this overcoming needs to be faced. The important thing to remember is that we get to choose how to move forward. We are creations of God. We are divine children of God. We have a divinity within us. We have access with that. That divinity gives us access to guidance, to wisdom, to courage, to strength. All of the things that we need to do any overcoming that we might experience. When we have that, when we align with that presence, what we call the Christ within. Scripture has a number of places that tell us that we can do this. With God, all things are possible. Believe it?
Yes.
Yes. I can do all things through Christ. Believe it?
Yes.
Yeah. I really did have one of those. I performed a wedding for my best friend's daughter, who calls me mom number two. And as she came around, was outside, and as she came around the corner, I could feel myself getting teary. No, you know, and I prayed really quick, real, no. And I was rewarded with peace, you know, and I was able to see it and move on. All things through Christ I can do. Even when it looks like death. And I don't always mean a literal death. I mean the ending of a job, the ending of a relationship, a shift in yourself, a death, an ending of some kind. Something new will emerge in divine order. We are the beloved children of God. In just a few minutes, we're going to do the transformation. You see the wreath and the flowers. And I'll explain more as we do this. But first, what I would like to do is just kind of meditate on overcoming, on Easter, on the celebration. And I think it's only appropriate to use the words that Jesus taught us as we come together before the meditation to repeat together the Lord's Prayer. Together.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
Amen. If you're comfortable doing so, allow your eyes to stay closed or to gently close or to perhaps look at a candle and flame softly. But to take a deep breath and become wholly present in this moment. We are here together with like-minded people in celebration, in love, and in joy. we do a quick mental scan of our bodies to see if there's any place that we're holding tension. And consciously and purposely release, let go. The minds want to keep chatter, but we imagine them as like clouds that are just drifting by. We see it, notice it, and then we don't put our attention there. And the way I like to do it is I sort of make my mind become receptive, almost as if my mind is listening. Perhaps that still small voice might present itself to me and I can receive it. So we still our minds, we still our bodies, and as we consider the truth of the statement, God and I are one, we experience that communion, that connection with a higher power that is in each of us. Oh, and we breathe deeply, reflectively, recognizing and realizing that this presence is, if we listen or when we listen, is that wisdom, it is that the voice of wisdom, it is the guidance, the answerer to all prayers that we bring in this manner. Sometimes we don't know that a prayer has been answered because we may be expecting it to come in a different form, like a certain job or a certain person in a relationship. But as we open ourselves to Spirit, to be led by Spirit, to be guided by Spirit, to be comforted and strengthened by Spirit, then we become in alignment with the highest and the best. There is divine order, so we stop expecting a certain outcome on a certain day at a certain time or in a certain way. In divine order, all will be revealed. And we can use this in our own lives. If we have a challenge that we are experiencing right now, we might want and be looking for a way to overcome, to rise up. So let's take just a few moments in silence, as we do each week, to experience this communion, to experience this oneness, and perhaps bring into mind some situation, event, or experience that we need help with in the silence. We will bring this time of meditation and contemplation to a close, but I ask you to hold on to that challenge that you are seeking to have an overcoming in. We are so grateful to be together, to be aware of this connection between the divine and the human, and especially for that union to happen within ourselves. So very grateful. Grateful for this community that helps to support each other in our spiritual path. So in much love and in much gratitude, we just say thank you, thank you, thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.